Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Collective Corner. In this episode, we have Hassan T. He's been a friend of mine for several years, and we probably met on the forum sometime, right?
Yes, I think we met actually. Also, Bob Beach Hall used to have like a monthly call. We're ordering a previews catalog, and that's where I think I first met you.
Oh, yeah. I called into the previews, the we'd go over the previews magazine.
Yes, that was the first time I think I met you. So I think I've known you off and on for like the past several years.
Yeah, 'cause that was when we did those previews call, that was like way before we actually met in
That's
person.
that, yeah, exactly. I think you're ordering everything from the DC section.
Yeah. So, the first time we actually met was at, I think, the first CampbellCon that I was invited to. I don't know if they existed before.
I think that was the first CameraCon ever, and that's the first time I met you. And I met Chris a year before that at Baltimore very briefly. But yeah, that's the first time I met you. I think that was, I want to say, was that 4 or 5 years ago? It's been a
Yeah,
long time.
it's been a long time. But we've had we must have had at least one or two after that too. Plus we've met at the Baltimore Con several times. What you're
Yep,
usually there
Baltimore
is
and Heroes.
yeah. We usually meet for one meal at least or something.
Well, I
Well,
appreciate you having me on the show. I love, your weekly multiple podcasts, and I also love the Collector's Corner. I thought, that's a good idea to do, and I'm glad that you're bringing it back with me.
I like doing it because I'm not an interview type guy, but when I get something out of it, I like learn things. Like every collector does things different, you know? And if I can like optimize things for my collection or see how things are done, I find collecting comics fascinating, collecting toys, collecting
Well, I agree. I
you know.
always like to talk to people about what they collect with comics. I've been collecting, I think, basically my whole life, since I could remember, collecting, reading comics.
Let's go back to Little Hassan when you first ran into comics. Like, when was that? Around what time frame?
So I'm 46 years old. And I can't remember when I actually first saw my first comic because I had a lot of older cousins that were into comics. So I think the first time I ever seen or read a comic was through them. And I think it was like a Batman or a Legion or Teen Titans. I vaguely remember that. But I was, I read their comics and I was like, okay, I'm fine. But I could tell you when I started really getting into comics. It was in 1977. And a small movie just came out. It's called Star Wars. Have you ever heard of Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I was six. It was like the perfect time. So when Star Wars came out, I was like blown away. I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest movie ever.
Well, it's
And I wanted,
life-changing. It
it
really
was life
is.
changing. It was. I bought the novel. I read the novel. I bought the toys a year later when it came out. And this Marvel started printing out comic books. And I love Star Wars, so I'm like, oh, the Star Wars comic books. And back then, so my dad died when I was really, really young. So I was raised by my mom, and I had an older sister and a younger brother. And my mom would take us to the mall. And back then, which is, you don't do this nowadays, my brother and I would just go around the mall by ourselves while my older sister and my mom were shopping. You can't do that now. So when we go around the mall, there's always at the mall we go to, there's a newsstand. And believe it or not, a newsstand where it has magazines and it had a comic book rack. And I was always go there and look at the comics there. And I would get Star Wars. Eventually I got Battlestar Galactica comics
Oh,
and I got
nice.
Mike and Micronauts. So I was into the licensed comics. Once in a while I'd buy, a superhero comic book like a Captain America or a Spider-Man or a Batman, but it was mostly Star Wars, Micronauts, and Battlestar
So
Galactica.
you started off like Marvel, like deep in that realm.
Well, it's because of license. And I not to get on a tangent, but when people give licensed comics a bad rap, I actually think licensed comics is the intro to comics in general, especially the younger generation. Like, they see something on TV or a movie and they want more of it. They see a comic book, they get into it, and eventually they try other comic books.
Yeah, it's like Transformers and G.I. Joe, which is the younger generation.
Yes. Well, I eventually got into G.I. Joe eventually.
Yeah.
But that's later. So, you know, you go to the mall and I buy random comics on a newsstand. And back then, it wasn't like I didn't get every issue. It was always hard to get every issue because you never know what's at the newsstand. And we didn't go there on a regular basis. And I don't know, back then it was okay if you missed an issue or two. You just read the book and you figure out what was going on. You didn't have to know exactly what happened through these issues.
It was a lot easier for sure.
Yeah, because they were mostly one and done.
When you're in the Bronze Age, they gave you enough material to get you into the story.
Exactly. And then eventually, there was near my house, they opened up this new strip mall, and they opened up a McDonald's there that we're all excited. Oh, McDonald's near our house. And they opened up a new bookstore called Paperback Palace. And this new bookstore had a couple of shelves of comic books and a small section of long boxes. I'd never seen long boxes before in my life. I was like, oh, wow, what's this? And so we were going to McDonald's for lunch or dinner. And I asked my mom, hey, could I have the change? Could I keep the change? And back then, you know, you kept, you know, 35 cents, 60 cents, 70 cents. You could buy two or one comic. That's a lot. You know, a change could actually buy a couple of comics. So afterwards, I would always go to this news bookstore and buy maybe one or two comics if we had dinner or lunch at McDonald's. And again, I was still focusing on Star Wars and whatnot until one day I bought this Batman issue, Batman 339. And on the cover it was a Poison Ivy issue, and I was blown away. For some reason, this took me into superhero comics on a permanent basis. It was a cliffhanger at the end where Poison Ivy had a plan to steal Bruce Wayne's money. And at the end, Bruce Wayne can't say anything because Poison Ivy kissed Bruce Wayne and he can't speak or say anything against Poison Ivy. And it was to be continued. I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then additionally, they had a Robin backup. I was like, wow, a Robin story. And I always liked Robin from the TV show. And so I just loved it. So that was really like, I started reading that. I was like, I got to get the next issue. And then I also picked up JLA 197, which is the last part of the Justice League, Justice Society crossover that year. This is 1981, by the way. And they were fighting the Secret Society of Supervillains. And it was drawn by George Perez. I was like, oh, this is amazing. And what's this older Superman? I never knew about like Earth 2 until I read this issue. I was like, oh, this is such a cool concept. And then eventually I picked up New Teen Titans issue 14. And that's really where
you got sucked in.
Oh, got sucked in. So New Teen Titans 14 was a cover of Beast Boy's stepfather, adoptive father, Metallo. Meto, right? What's his name? The guy with the weird costume, ugly costume from the Doom Patrol?
Yeah, Meto.
Yeah, that's right.
I know and, him. I got his image in my head.
And I bought that comic, and I read it so many times that the cover came off. That's how many times I read that comic book, and I loved it. And so, you know, I started reading comics. My first Brave World was 179, which is Batman teaming up with the Legion. My first Wonder Woman was 283, which had a backup of the Huntress, which was back then the Earth 2 Batman starter, and that blew me away.
Yeah.
You know, Earth where Batman's dead, but he was married to Catwoman, and they had a daughter, and she fights crime now. I was like, whoa. My first Flash issue was Flash 305, which
That's
had...
pretty impressive that you remember, like...
Oh,
the first ones, because I don't, other than the Flash, I don't remember what the first cover was. That's pretty impressive that you remember all these things.
Well, I would say this, I don't remember the first time I read a comic book per se from my cousins, but I remember the first time, like I bought a comic on my own.
Yeah.
And so Glass 305, which has had Jay Garrett and Barry Allen. So you can see the Earth 2 stuff was just fascinating to me. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Everything that you mentioned had like a almost an Earth 2 connection.
I did also. Yes, it did. I bought some Marvel, but you know, it was pretty obvious in early on in my buying habits. I always more tilt towards DC than Marvel for some reason. Mm-hmm. I think because my favorite characters end up being the New Teen Titans, Batman, and then eventually, this is in '82. I picked up my first Legion of Superhero issue, and that was 289, and it's drawn by Keith Giffen, and it's called A Cold and Lonely Corn of Hell. And it's a picture of the small group of Legionnaires trapped on an ice planet, and the words, the title of the book, the issue was on the cover. I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I picked it up. And, you know, it was like actually the issue right before the Great Darkness saga. And so I started like right there. And it was just blew my...
Able to continue from there? Or did you have to get still issue by issue? I mean, miss a bunch of issues.
I did miss one chapter of the Great Darkness saga at one point, and eventually went and got it. So I was getting comics from this news bookstore. It was okay. One day we went on the other side. This is back, I was living in Florida, and we're going in Clearwater. I live in Seminole, Florida, and we were on the other side of the county. In Clearwater, they had the same bookstore, but it's bigger. I asked my mom, oh, let's go in there. It's Paperback Palace. And we go in the back of the store, and it was the first time in my life. It was actually the back of the store was a true life comic book store. Like multiple shelves of comics, multiple long boxes. I was like, oh my God, what is this? And that's how I started getting comics. And eventually, get this. A Geppi comic store opened up 15 minutes away from my house in '82.
Oh, wow.
And that's where I start going to on a regular basis. I remember on Fridays after school, I asked my mom.
We had a comic book store.
Yeah, actually, Geppi had comic book stores. One was in Florida. And I think what it was part of, he bought a Van Z located in Tampa. And I guess they had because of that, they were going to open up a store because part of the distribution, they thought why not open a store in as well? Excuse me. And so, yeah, it was right there. And what was cool about it was I opened up my first box, you know, subscription box. So I had my first pull list there, and it also got me into other comic companies like First Comics. No pun intended. I first saw First Comics there. I saw a button that says Nexus. And then I started getting Kimiko Elementals. I got my first Elementals comic from there. And it was really cool. The other comics I loved when I was reading was I started getting Justice League, and they had an All-Star Squadron crossover. And that's then I started getting All-Star Squadron because I thought that was really cool. You know, it's Earth Rangers during World War II, and I just thought it was great. And eventually I picked up Infinity Incorporated. When that launched, I loved The Outsiders. So I still try other comics. I always like to try comics, new comics, but my main comics I always bought was Batman, Detective, Teen Titans, Legion, also Squadron, Justice League, and eventually Infinity Incorporated and The Outsiders.
Ah,
those were my main comics.
That's you stick to the theme.
I did.
You get like Batman Detective. Do you get the offshoot titles as well that Batman's in, like Legends and Legends of the Dark Knight? And
eventually, I did, but this is still back when Batman only had two titles back then, and The Outsiders. But yeah, I mean. And then I picked up this reprint series called Shadow of the Bat, which is Steve Englehart and Marshall Rogers.
Oh, the reprints, right?
Yeah, and that blew me away as well. I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing.
Yeah, there
the
were the,
first
like the deluxe format books. I remember those because I bought them too.
yeah yeah Oh, Firestorm was another book I picked up as well. So you can see I stayed mostly with DC, and I felt, because I had a limited budget, I
Yeah.
felt like if I could stay in DC, I could be more connected to the universe. That said, when Secret Wars came out in Marvel, I picked up the first issue. Oh, I love that. I start picking up before we were there, I start picking up Roger Stern and John Romita Jr.'s Amazing Spider-Man, which I really loved.
Yeah.
And eventually I tried X-Men. My first Uncanny X-Men issue was 175, which is Paul Smith's last issue, which is really sad, actually, because I was reading it. I was like, oh, this is great art. And then, obviously, while I like John Jr. back then, it wasn't as good as Paul Smith.
Yeah, it was
So,
different.
and so on the, yeah, it was
But
a,
his
so on the mark.
style changed dramatically, though.
Yes, it
Like
did.
Romita Jr. back then was not Romita. You wouldn't even know it was the same guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And then I try Alpha Flight. I like Alpha Flight. And what was funny was, even though I would probably buy more DC than Marvel, when the Handbook came out, I was buying the Handbook because I just love knowing about characters. I mean, I think the Handbook was awesome. I love Who's Who's. I always love anything about information about characters. So that's when I started collecting comics, back in the early 80s. And I remember during the
Have
summers.
you always stuck with it, or are there times when you just left entirely?
I have never stopped collecting and reading comics. There are times where I slowed down. In college, I might have, like, because I was so busy, I might have bought maybe 10 books a month,
Yeah.
which was not much. For,
But
uh,
they are a fantastic stress reliever. Like,
they are. They are.
because it's able to take your mind off of all your homework and stuff, even if it is for like 10, 15 minutes.
I yes, I mean, I have never stopped reading comics, even where people said the nice comics weren't that great. Well, you know what? I was able to find comics I enjoyed, and I tried every publisher. Like I told you, I tried Kimiko. I love the Mage. I love Elementals. I love First Comics like Nexus and Grimjack. Those books were awesome. I love Dreadstar from Epic. Those are like the smaller publishers. And honestly, when Image started, I started buying all the Image books, which was not a lot because they were always so late.
Well, I think Spawn stuck the landing. It's the only one that was okay.
And Savage Dragon too.
Savage Dragon, yeah, those were the two. Everything else was somewhat late. Jim Lee was pretty decent. Rob Liefeld was really late.
Yes.
Like late enough that you would be shocked when an issue came out. Like you wouldn't even remember to go get it.
Yeah. So in 85 we moved around 85 we moved here, sorry, to Virginia. And so we had a pack, and we're trying to get, my mom didn't want me to pack so much. So I had like a lot of miscellaneous comics that were in a run, like a Captain America issue here and there. So I gave them away to a family friend. And when we traveled, I only traveled with the runs I wanted, which was all the DC stuff.
Which is the Batman, the Titans, the Le all the stuff you just said.
And
Did you did you
Spider-Man.
did you did you keep your Star Wars and your Micronauts, or did those go too?
Those went eventually, because by the time I left, I was like, Micronauts, I don't need to read anymore. It was over. It was like, it was by the time we moved, the new Voyage or that new series came out. I wasn't that into it. And Star Wars, I was done. After Return of the Jedi came out, I was kind of done with the Star Wars comic books. I didn't feel compelled to read the Star Wars comics anymore.
Do you feel like it now, or
Oh yeah,
did you
I
go
have.
back?
Well, what I have done is, and my wife and I have agreement that I have only a limited amount of space for comics. So there's certain old comics that I like to read, but I
Yeah.
can't buy them all because I don't have enough space. So I buy the digital version. So I have all the digital versions of the original Star Wars Marvel series. I have those on my iPad. So if I want to read them, I could easily read them.
I'm starting to read it for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 'cause the Star Wars stuff I only picked up in the 3-pack, and it was like during the movie. So I only have like the movie adaptations. I never went back and picked up the book. And right now I have the 3-volume omnibus, you know, those big honking books.
Yeah, I saw those,
And
yeah.
I'm reading it like there, and then if I'm reading in the middle of the night, I'll read it off of Marvel Unlimited.
I
And the
Carmine.
stories are good. I mean,
Yeah, what?
I'm surprised at what they could get away with, and I'm surprised at like their own continuity they were building. Do you know what I mean? It was like so different.
I felt the best stuff was actually between the first and the second movie because they had no idea what was going to happen, and
Yeah.
so I felt like they had like the endless possibilities. Then after Empire, I felt they were more constrained. And then Archie Goodwin and Carmine Infantino on Star Wars was just amazing, and it's interesting to see Carmine Infantino draw Star Wars because his art was so dynamic, so different from
Yeah.
most Star Wars artists nowadays. Like the no photo reference whatsoever,
Yeah.
but there were some cool Star Wars stories that they had, and it was all awesome. And then also Walt Simonson also drew, I believe, some Star Wars issues after Empire. That was really good too.
And at the beginning, you had Chaykin,
But
so
yeah, I mean,
you
it
had
was
a
just a
lot of good
good
artists doing stuff. And getting to create a lot of stuff, like a lot of aliens, a lot of creatures, a lot of different ships. Yeah, it was a good time. I never realized it. I wasn't into the licensed stuff, to tell you the truth.
You ever read Micronauts?
I have read it recently, but I didn't read it. I'm talking about like 10 years ago I read it.
Oh, I love it. I
But
bought
again with the Micronauts, I got the Micronauts first 3 issues in a 3-pack. You know those little plastic things that you could always see the you could see 2 issues in the middle one you wouldn't be able to see. I'd buy those 3-packs at the I think they were like toy stores or Kmart's or wherever they'd have those 3-packs. And that's how I got my initial Micronauts and Star Wars. But
I read a lot of Brave and the Bold through 3 packs. I got a couple three packs that had Brave and the Bold. It had like Batman team up with the Flash, the Atom, and who else? I think Superman was the other one. It was
yeah,
pretty cool.
I'm glad they're putting out those omnibuses of Brave and the Bold.
Oh yeah, I
Those are
love that
cool.
stuff. I mean, that stuff is just crazy stuff. I mean, it's funny. Everyone always says Batman's a loner, but dude, the Batman team up with almost everybody in DC Universe for like almost 200 issues. Same thing with Spider-Man. People say, "Oh, Spider-Man's a loner." I'm like, but he knows everybody. He teams up with almost everybody.
Well, there's a difference though, because Brave and the Bold got away with a lot of weird stuff, man. They almost like gave it, they almost called it like Earth B at one point because it was so not in continuity. Whereas with Marvel Team Up, they kind of kept that in continuity, like it was still there. And then you'd get like, oh, this, you'd get the editor's note, like this happened in Spider-Man or something like that. Or if he teamed up with Iceman, Iceman was doing this in X-Men, you know. So it kept a little more of a tighter continuity, whereas what is his name? Bob Haney? He kind of got away with murder. I mean, and they let him, which was cool, 'cause they're nice little done in one stories that they could get away with stuff like that.
I mean, I forgot what issue. It was fun in the omnibus. I was reading the issue. It was crazy stuff where Batman takes a regular plane to another country and he's on the plane in his costume. Like, come on. How ridiculous is
Well,
that?
he'd go back to World War II too for Sergeant Rock.
That's right.
I mean, he had some strange stuff happen to him, and then he had a lot of space adventures, that's for sure.
Yes.
I mean, even in the Golden Age and Silver Age, he would end up in space a lot. I don't know how that would happen. And I just read a Solomon Grundy story, and it was a Superman story. And he, this is an Earth 2 thing, which I found fascinating because I haven't read it before. He willed himself to go to Earth 1.
What?
Yes, Solomon Grundy willed himself. In other words, he was in the swamp and he was miserable. And he's like, "Why do the Flashes have two Flashes? Why do the Green Lanterns have two? There's got to be another Solomon Grundy." And he's like, "Okay, I go find him." And he willed himself into the other Earth. I
Wow.
was like, "That's insane."
They didn't care really back there how they just wanted to tell a good story. And
Right.
that's all that mattered. And I think nowadays, sometimes I get on a tangent, people just worry about, well, what's going to happen next? And I feel like it's more about the journey. Well, I care about character development and plot movement. It's also about the journey. The journey is as important as the character development.
Yeah,
And I think people sometimes don't think that in today's
I think it because I don't even look at solicits when it comes to DC or Marvel. I just get them. So it's like, why do I want to know? The only time I'll look at it is if it's like a new number one and I'll say, oh, that looks interesting, or
Yeah, when I look at solicits, I just want to know who's the writer and who's the artist. If it's a book I'm already going to buy, I don't care what's going to happen in it.
yeah.
Actually, most of the time I get excited about the solicits nowadays is the collections, because I love the fact that DC is collecting a lot of older material. And so every time they come out with new previews, that's the area I look at first, like, oh, what new collections are coming out? Because I think what they're doing now, DC with their like hardcovers, older stuff, like they have Batman the Outsiders, that volume 2 is coming out this week. I love their omnibus that they've been doing, the Bronze Age, the Silver
Yeah, they're
Age,
nice. The Golden
Golden
Age,
Age.
too. Yeah.
I'm addicted to them. And what's sad is I think I have bought almost every one of them. I probably only read maybe 20 issues out of the whole all the collection because I haven't had time.
Yeah,
But I just
I
love
hear
this.
you. I have every single one, and
But
I've only delved into one of them so far.
see, I miss the archive train archives,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and if you miss it, sometimes it's hard to get. The Marvel Masterworks is another collection that I get, and I focus only on Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, the X-Men, because I those are my favorite characters in the Marvel universe. Because I can't buy everything, and so I go, okay, every Amazing Spider-Man masterwork I'm going to get, every X-Men masterwork I'm going to get. So, for example, I think pretty much with the Masterworks, the Amazing Spider-Man omnibus, and then the Watchers of Stern omnibus, I think I have every Amazing Spider-Man issue in a collected version from issues 1 through maybe like 250, something like that. And I love it.
Yeah.
The X-Men, same thing. In one form or the other, I probably have like from the original X-Men to, I think, Uncanny X-Men, or the Masterwork they're up to, all in collected hardcover, and I love it because I could go back and read it if I ever want to.
Well,
And I have,
they are nice volumes because they're not too big. The only thing I don't like about the Masterworks is I think they're overpriced. Because $75 for the page count is a lot of money.
I agree. That's why I buy Amazing Spider-Man, the Uncanny X-Men, because I feel at least they're still worth it because the individual issues cost a lot. But if you do a masterwork of stuff that you could get like at $2
Yeah.
at con, it's not worth it.
Well, you know
But the
what
best.
I've discovered that I like with those is like when they have a Christmas special on Comixology. I love the Masterworks. So like I'll pick when they're like $4.99 or $6.99, real cheap. I'm like, "Hey, I'll pick it up." And
I did
I'll
that
read
with
it
the
easily.
I did that with the Fantastic Four Masterworks.
Yeah.
And unfortunately though, sorry about that. Unfortunately though, I started reading some of the Fantastic Four Masterworks.
Yeah.
And after Jack Kirby and Stan Lee left, it had some low points. You know, it wasn't the very strong. Some of it doesn't hold up. Let me just say that.
Who was after
that? Especially Reed Richards Street. I want to say Roy Thomas and then Jerry Conway. And Roy Thomas's writing of Reed Richards' treatment of Sue Storm. Yeah. Not very, doesn't hold up. Doesn't hold up. doesn't hold up. But yeah, so I do buy, you know, on sale, like stuff that, why I want to read, I don't need to have on my shelf. I do buy like digitally. Mm-hmm. I recently bought Infinity Incorporated digitally. They had a sale and I bought all these back issues because I want to read.
Do they have all of them?
No, they stop. I think they go up to one. I just was looking at the other day, maybe 137, 138. But that's the most of it. You know, it only went to 52 or 53 issues.
I have the individual issues, and I bought the one hard. They released one hardcover when I thought they were going to release a bunch.
Yeah, me too. I got that hardcover too.
It was volume one, and then the next one I think they solicited, but they canceled it. So
yeah,
I would imagine it's because of low orders. But I like that they did the same sort of thing with the Secret Society of Supervillains.
But at least they finished that.
You know, with that collected edition. But that wasn't a big run.
Yeah, that's true. I have those two hardcovers as well.
Yeah.
So I never stop. I have stopped collecting like particular runs. I actually, in college and then after college, I had a limited budget. And so I was kind of tired, believe it or not, of Batman. So I stopped reading Batman for a while in the mid-90s. Believe it or not, I didn't pick up Batman again until after No Man's Land.
Yeah,
I think part of it was
a lot of crossovers then.
Well,
you probably went and reread them now.
I know what happened in No Man's Land. Yeah. One of the reasons I stopped reading Batman was it was too many crossovers, and I felt like I had to buy all the books. And I just wasn't feeling all the books. But after No Man's Land, I jumped back into Batman and Detective. And that is a run since after No Man's Land that I have not stopped buying and reading Batman Detective.
Yeah.
And then the other one that has I stopped for a long, long time after Todd McFarlane left Spider-Man. I actually stopped reading Spider-Man. I never read the Clone Saga. I never read it.
It's interesting because I left during Clone Saga, and now I'm reading it, and I've fallen in love with it.
No, I never read it. I never even had the desire to read it.
Well, I have the single issues, but I bought the Clone Saga Omnibus.
Yeah.
I liked it so much.
Really?
I liked it so much of what I've read that I've purchased the single issues too.
I mean,
I had to complete it.
That's so fun. But they also have trades too. They have a whole bunch of trades too that I've seen on the Clone Saga.
Right.
What do you like about it?
It's very threaded. Like, maybe I like it so much because the omnibus puts it out of order. So, like, if you're reading Ben Reilly, you're reading Ben Reilly for four issues, and then you're reading Peter Parker for four issues. If you were reading them at the time, you were reading them Ben Reilly, Peter, Ben Reilly, Peter, Ben Reilly, Peter. And, it's just a convoluted story, and there's so many cool threads that I like. I mean, Mary Jane got pregnant during that time. Aunt May's in the hospital. I mean, there's a Doc Ock storyline where you see how he saved Spider-Man's life, and you kind of see threads that they took from when he was Spider-Man, you know, and it's just there's some amazing story arcs in there. There's Kraven's son in there. I mean, I could keep on going on. I really, really like it. And maybe it's because I'm reading it now. I don't know.
No, maybe I should go back and read. I've been thinking about going back and read some Spider-Man stories that I never read. The other collection I really like is the Epic Collection from Marvel. I think it's actually my favorite collection format. It's those fat trades. And what I like about them, first of all, they're fat, like those fat, you know, Epic collections. And I like the fact that they publish them in the chronological order of when the comic was published. So you get all the issues plus the annual in the middle of the issues. I love them. I have a whole bunch of them. And I love the paper because it's not glossy. I just love that collection format. And I prefer that out of all the collections I have, actually.
Well, I think it's my favorite collected edition format because it's not too heavy. It's something that you could throw into a bag.
Yes,
exactly. I like that they do it out of order, kind of. You know, like you'll get like volume 14 and volume 15 before you got 5 and 6. It's really weird, but it's all chronological, like you said. If there's like a crossover in there with something else, like Marvel Team Up or something, you'll get it. It's the paper I like a lot. So like I'm all in on the Epic collection. Like I decided that I was going to stick to two collected editions and get it all. And one of them is the Epic collection, and then the other one is those omnibuses that DC's putting out. The Golden Age, Silver Age, and Bronze, you know.
I like those omnibus because even though they're omnibus, they're not too thick. Mm-hmm. I don't like the omnibus for 1,000 pages. I had the Justice Society of America, Jeff Johns, the three omnibus.
Yeah, they're so big.
I actually, now they're releasing the trade version, I'm beginning the trade because, I mean, it's going to take forever to publish all the trades of that, but yeah. I prefer the trades. It's just easier to read, you know? Yeah. You know, those Marvel omnibus where it's like 1,500 pages, no thank you. I mean, when am I going to read that, you know?
Those ones I think are a little more manageable than the DC ones, though. Like, I'm just talking about, like, page count. Some of the DC ones, like the Doom Patrol, you know, the Grant Morrison Doom Patrol and the Jeff Johns JSAs, they are so thick.
Yeah, no.
They are thick. At least the omnibuses, at least the ones I have, they don't exceed, like, a certain page count.
That's what I'm saying. So like the Golden Age, the Silver Age, and the Bronze Age, they're about no more than 800 pages. I think that's the max.
Yeah.
But they had that new Mark Waid Captain America omnibus. I think that was over 1,000 pages. I was like, no, thank you. I mean, it'd be nice to have, but I was like, it's too big. It's too big. The other collection I like is the deluxe format that DC's putting out. And the reason why I like them, they're oversized, but they're not too big. Like
talking about the current stuff?
Well, they put current stuff. They did the Nail, Justice League, the Nail collection in the in that format. What else did they put in there? You know, a lot of the special collections, or they had the Batman and Robin when it was coming out. They published them in those deluxe format, which is like the oversized.
Uh-huh.
I put that versus the Absolute. The Absolute is cool. But it's so big, too, you know, the Absolute. Like, you could kill somebody with that book.
Yeah, I don't have I only have, like, two Absolutes. One of them's Watchmen, and I can't even remember what the other one is.
I have, like, I just counted. I have 21. So I have quite a bit of Absolute edition. Not more of the recent, more of the earlier stuff that they did, not the stuff they do nowadays. So I like the deluxe. I love the omnibus though. I bought the Justice League Detroit omnibus because I love that whole run.
Mm-hmm.
Bought the Justice League International omnibus.
People don't like that run, but that's pretty. It's pretty fun. I mean, I like it.
I thought it was different. And to be honest with you, as a kid who's a minority, when they started introducing minority characters and teams.
Yeah.
No, honestly, it just made it more relatable.
Yeah.
So I liked it because they tried to do something different.
It was like a new roster. I mean, you had Vibe, you had Steel, you had Gypsy, you had Vixen. I mean, there was a lot of different new characters. And then you had the old folks, the Aquaman and Martian Manhunter.
No, I thought it was great. Believe it or not, I didn't like Superman for the longest time until I loved the Superman movie, but in the comic books, I always felt like he was a bit stale until John Byrne did Man of Steel. And then since then, ever since John Byrne's Man of Steel, and then when he left, and then he had Dan Jurgens and Roger Stern on Superman, I love the Superman books. And even going back in time, and I read all of the Superman stuff now, I really like Superman. Superman's one of my favorite characters now. But when I was a kid, until John Byrne, Man of Steel, Superman was not one of my favorite characters. And now he is.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Like, even the Super Friends cartoon, he was my least favorite.
Yeah,
Like,
because he.
I loved Christopher Reeve. I felt the same way, but I just, if he wasn't in Justice League or any of the other big books, I didn't want to really read him. I started reading him continuously, like right before Crisis. I was picking up Action and Superman. So I would say like 1 year before the Alan Moore issue, that ended it all. I think I started getting it regularly. Other than that, it was very sporadic, like one every year, if that.
Actually, speaking of Alan Moore, I did pick up those two final issues. And it was funny, reading those two issues was made me love the old Superman for the first time,
Yeah.
the Silver Age. That said, I love Superboy. Like Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, I love for some reason. I thought that was cool. That this Superman as a teenager, I thought it was
Yeah.
cool. And I like Supergirl, but Superman was just too stiff. But yeah, it wasn't until John Byrne, and then I mean, I read Superman like for a long, long time. I think I stopped reading Superman probably like maybe in the late 90s. I took a break because it was getting like, they had the same people on it. It was getting stale. So I took a break. I think it was after the blue Superman. The blue
Yeah.
and red Superman was just so-so. That's when I stopped. But all that time, I read Superman, the Death of Superman, the Triangle Burks. It was just
When
awesome.
it was triangled, it was tighter, in my opinion, it was tighter than Batman. And I don't mean like it was better. I just mean it was really integrated. As far as like going from issue to issue, even though the creative teams were switching.
I agree. I think it was tighter because, well, here's the thing I didn't like about the Batman because books in the 90s. At a certain point, Batman, they had Catwoman, they had Robin. Every time they have a crossover, they had to have a Catwoman issue and Robin issue. I felt it was forced. Especially sometimes the concluding chapter was always in Robin. It felt very forced that the concluding chapter was always in Robin. When, really, it would have been tighter if they just kept in the Batman proper books. That's my humble opinion.
And
Yeah, that's right.
it crossed over into other things like Azrael and
Yeah,
everything.
oh,
So
as
you
well.
had a lot of. I'm the only one that's an Azrael supporter on that Gotham by Geeks. I think
Yeah,
all the rest.
actually, I went out to dinner with Chris Campbell last night,
Yeah.
and we were talking about Azrael, and we still can't believe it lasted 100 issues.
I was buying it the whole time. I stuck with it.
I bought like the first like 30, 40 issues.
I found him interesting. I found him interesting because he was different. Like, he started off like very robotic and part of his religious cult, if you will. And then he became, I mean, after he was Batman and sort of like a programmed Punisher, he started to form this weird identity of trying to find himself, like, who am I? Kind of like the Bruce Banner in the TV show. I don't know who I am. I gotta identify with I have to wander around and try to figure out who I am. I found it pretty interesting. But I like Dennis O'Neil. There's not too much Dennis O'Neil that I personally don't like.
You ever read The Question, his Question series?
I love it's one of his best, I think.
I loved it. I loved The Question. It was so awesome. It was so different. It was awesome.
I liked it more at that time. I even liked it more than Batman, to tell the
Yeah,
truth.
I don't disagree. It's funny. I was a huge Batman fan, and I actually felt the weakest Batman stories was after Jim Starlin left. I felt it was kind of weak for a while. I felt like it wasn't strong until later on. And who was the first writer on Batman after Batman Year One? What's his face? It was Max Collins.
Yeah, Max Allen Collins.
Max Allen. Oh, I did not like his run at all. I thought it was so boring.
And I'm starting to dig him. I mean, but I'm digging him in a different way. He did the Query stuff, the crime noir stuff.
No, I mean, I think that stuff was great. I just think he tried to make it like apply to Batman, and it became Batman didn't. It was just too. It wasn't as interesting as the older Batman stories, but.
Yeah. Created Wild Dog.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, so. The thing I liked about The Question was the Hub City, man. That there was a point when I was reading that I actually thought Hub City was worse than Gotham.
Oh, I thought Hub City was a lot worse than Gotham.
I thought there was so much corruption. There was like no good. Like it was just nothing redeemable about that city.
Yeah, I think Gotham at least had hope, while Hub City had no hope.
Yeah, it was it got crazy because didn't he fall in love with like the mayor, like the and she had a daughter, and then he like in the Question Quarterly had to protect the daughter. I can't remember it all, but it's been so long. I should get those trades.
They're hard to find. I was looking for them the other day. I think they're out of print, unfortunately. Yeah. The other series I really liked was Cat and Adam.
Oh yeah,
that was a great series.
Carrie Bates, he's one of my favorites.
Oh, that was so good. It was so different.
Long running and very convoluted plot, and I loved it.
Yes. Yep.
It was one of the ones that did the military thing like really good, like really. It, good.
Yes. Exactly. And then, of course, the Suicide Squad. The first Suicide Squad series was really good. I mean, it was a great time in DC. It was funny. After Crisis, I felt DC became better books, except for the two of the books that made me fall in love with DC. Titans and Legion, actually, I think Marv Wolfman, after Crisis, writing Crisis, I think he was burnt out because his books after Crisis weren't as good as his books before. Yeah. And then Legion also, I think, lost a couple of steps when Keith Giffen left. Mm-hmm. And it didn't help that they screwed up Legion continuity with Man of Steel. They really screwed up Teen Titans continuity, and they screwed up Legion continuity. And they still do today. I mean,
Legion especially, though.
Yeah, every time they do a recon, DC does a recon, they screw things up. And back in the 80s and 90s, DC was reconning all the time. Remember they had Hawkman in the Justice League?
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, they reconned, Hawkward came out, and they reconned it where he was never in the Justice League.
Yeah.
Or so it was a different person.
That's when he became a true space cop in Thanagar.
Yeah, they kept screwing around history.
They screwed around with it, but Hawkworld at the time I thought was so damn good. That Timothy Truman deluxe format, holy mackerel.
Oh, that was awesome, but you know what they could have done in retrospect? They could say this took place in the past, and he ended up joining the Justice League later. But what they made it was it takes place now, and suddenly he's introduced to the Earth Heroes for the first time. It just, I don't know.
Well, I actually think that Geoff Johns fixed Hawkman.
Oh, yeah.
Even when Palmiotti and Gray came on, they did really good with what Johns established. And I was kind of shocked that they would revamp him in New 52, because New 52 was kind of like, fix what we think is broken and keep what we think is not. Well, Hawkman, to my opinion, wasn't broken. It was already fixed. And they went to Savage Hawkman, and it really went out. It went out of what it was.
I agree. I mean, I thought the Hawkman series was awesome. The one that James Robson and Geoff Johns launched. And I actually thought one of my favorite team books in the 2000s was Justice Society of America, JSA. And because they introduced so many great characters. You got Mr. Terrific was introduced in The Flash, but he joined the JSA. The new Doctor Midnight. He was cool. I mean, that was just a great series. All those new characters. It was just so, you didn't know what was going to happen. The storyline with Black Adam was fantastic. Oh, you know, it was so many great stories. And when they brought back Hawkman, and it was such good stuff. It was good stuff.
Yeah, that's what kind of launched Hawkman back, was JSA.
Yeah.
And then he got his own title. That's a good omnibus to have, the Hawkman JSA. And I think the Palmiotti stuff after that was really good too.
I agree. Remember they had the Golden Eagle?
Yeah.
Was that? Yep. Yeah. That was a great story.
It kept going on with like legacy stuff because, you know, we knew Golden Eagle from before, which I love when they do stuff like that. They pull stuff from the past and they usually pull like good stuff that you remember. Like it'll stick out, good stuff that sticks out in your mind.
Yeah, I like the New 52. I like, you know, some of the comics from the New 52. But in retrospect, I think DC hurt themselves more by getting rid of the legacy, right? Starting everything fresh.
Yeah.
And that's why I like Rebirth, because Rebirth, they sort of said, some of the stuff did happen, some of it didn't. You know, like Superman, like, not having a history with Superman, I think hurt it. Now Superman books are much, much better. And the DC universe, they have a legacy. The characters have a legacy. You can't ignore that. And you could still have the legacy and tell new stories.
Yeah, I think they know that they knew their mistake, and that's why they admitted it in Rebirth.
Yeah. Because it feels so much better. It feels more like the old DC, DC Rebirth for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, after Doomsday Clock, they bring back Justice Society and Legion. I'm assuming they will, since,
I like the Legion when they relaunched. I mean, it was Giffen in New 52. I thought it was good. They had Legion Lost and Legion of Superheroes.
No, I thought it was good.
Were good books. And then they had that very Kirby-esque type drawing, which I freaking loved, where they had Giffen and Koblish drawing it. So it was working at, for me personally, on a lot of levels. But I guess nobody was buying it.
Yeah, I guess not.
I'm not the biggest Legion fan either.
Oh, really? No, Legion's one of my favorite runs.
I'm sort of discovering Legion now in my old age.
I never
wanted to read them back then because it was the future. Like it wasn't happening now, so I didn't need to.
See, I thought it was the opposite. It was it's the future, so anything could happen, and it was just so cool.
Yeah.
It was the future, and you have these planets and
aliens. But when you got
aliens
into Legion 89 and Legion 90 and 91 and Rebels, I love that because it was happening now.
Oh, that's. So I bought the Lobo trade, of the trade that collects the original miniseries.
Yeah.
I forgot how good the original miniseries is. It still holds up today.
Oh yeah, I picked it up too. I was thinking about reading it just to see.
It holds up. You read it. It holds up, especially the first miniseries. It holds up. It takes place, I think it was published in 1990, and it could have been published today. And with social media, it holds up. It holds up. Oh my God. And I miss the Legion 89, that series, Legion 89 and Docs.
Yeah, Viril Docs. He was awesome.
Such a great character. I wish they'd bring him back.
Well, he was
such a great character.
He was so good at he manipulated everybody. Like, he was the guy that would keep the team together by manipulating them or blackmailing them or whatever.
Exactly.
He's the one that had Lobo as his puppet.
Well, yeah, read the trade, because that's the whole premise of this series, is that Lobo, there's an unauthorized biography of Lobo, And this is not a spoiler because this is the plot of the miniseries. And Lobo wants to kill the writer. And he
Yeah.
wants to know who the writer is, but he wants to find the writer, kill him. Well, Doc said, "I have a job for you." But and again, because he owes Docs, he has to listen to what Docs tells him. And your job is to bring this person to me alive. You can't kill the person, you have to bring me the person alive. And the person he has to bring back to Docs is the person that wrote the book. And the person that wrote the book, I believe, was his fifth grade teacher. And that's why she knew so much about him. So it's so funny. It's so funny. And the 4 issues, he's trying to bring this woman in, and there's all these other groups. That's like I'm saying, like in social media today, there's all these groups online protesting something, or I'm for this, I hate this. All these different groups are after Lobo for different reasons. One group loves Lobo, so they're going to follow him everywhere. Another group hates Lobo, so they want to kill him. Another group hates the woman that wrote the book because it's just vile language. We can't allow that. We have to kill her. And so it's just so funny. It's satire. It's before Deadpool. It's really pre-Deadpool and Harley Quinn. It is like Lobo, the old Lobo series was like Harley Quinn and Deadpool today. It's so funny, satire. It didn't treat
Griffin likes
itself
to have
seriously.
humor in his books for sure.
Well, remember the one special where the Easter Bunny hired Lobo to kill Santa
Yeah,
Claus?
to kill Santa Claus. Yeah, I remember that.
That's great.
When you moved the first time, did you keep a long box or a couple long boxes of your Batman Legion and stuff?
I did, and my mom bought a townhouse, and luckily there was a big closet underneath the stairs to go to the basement that could fit long boxes. And eventually, I had like 25 long boxes. And then two things happened. Like I said, I never stopped reading comics, but at a certain point, I became less interested in the superhero stuff. And the X-Men was my favorite comics, and I went back and bought all the old X-Men books, either reprint through classic X-Men, or I went and actually bought the more expensive versions of those issues. But at a certain point, I stopped reading the X-Men after like Jim Lee left Marvel. The whole Image startup, Rob Liefeld, and all this, I stopped reading the X-Men, and I had a little cousin that was interested in the X-Men. So I told his dad, "Hey, if you want these comics, I sell them at cover price. You can just buy them." And two things happened. One, I never got the money. I gave them the comics, never paid for the comics. And two, what's really bothered me, this is what bothered me, my cousin didn't take care of these comics. I go to his house, they were in the bags, and they were all over the house, and sometimes they were torn. And I was like, oh, those were my X-Men marks. What was he doing? And I was like, how could you tell? Because I told you the story where when I first bought a comic, I used to read them so many times where the cover would come off. But eventually, I treated my comics like gold. Like when I read them, my hands were clean. I put them out. I take them out of the bag, put them back in the bag. I always made sure they were proper bag and board. And so that really bothered me.
Yeah, I've always taken care of them once I knew how to take care of them. Once I knew there were bags and boards for them, that's where they went.
So, I moved out of my mom's house, but I kept most of my comics there in my mom in the basement. I got engaged, and like I said, I was really still reading comics, but I was like, I don't need all these comics. And so I call it the Great Purge. I sold most of my comics in 1999. I went to a comic show and sold most of them there and helped pay for my honeymoon.
Did it work?
But
Did you sell a lot?
I sold a lot, and in fact, what happened was one of the dealers came by and saw my collection and saw that I took care of it. That at the end of the show, he bought the rest of it,
Oh, wow.
and but include all my Batmans, include all
Yeah.
my Titans, Legion, Justice League, all gone. So I had, I only had like a 2 long boxes in my condo. It was mostly Image stuff that I was reading or Vertigo. I was like, I don't need all those comics. There's 1999. I don't need all those comics. 2 years later, I realized I needed some of those comics back. So I bought,
Yeah.
I was, man, I bought the Teen Titans again.
And do you have the full run again?
The Teen Titans? Yes. That's the first run I went back and bought completely, that run. And then I end up going back and buying Legion. And now what I do, because, you know, we have a house, but, you know, like I told you earlier, the deal I have with my wife is I have a comic room down in the basement. And it was her idea, actually, where I have a whole bunch of bookshelves. And the bookshelves are either collections or comics in magazine holders. So I don't have any boxes in this room. It looks nice that way. Mm-hmm. In the storage room, I have long boxes. But I only can have enough. I can't get any more long boxes. So if I want to get more comics, I have to get rid of other comics to get more comics. So once a year, I go through stuff that I know I'm never going to read again. And they're not worth that.
Sounds like you and Campbell are in the same sort of philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, although it's very similar, right? Although I think I have more like stuff. It's not just it's worth it or something. Like I still have all the Geoff Johns, the Society of America comics, because that's one of my favorite runs. I still have his Green Lantern stuff. I have the Judd Winnick Green Arrow. And Outsiders, because I love that those two runs. Like the certain runs that I love, I kept. Mm-hmm. I never sold any Batman comics since I started Batman.
When you sold your Batman, did you go get everything that you had before, or are you still trying to do that?
So that's what I'm trying to do now. So what I do is, Chris got me hooked on buying back issues again.
Yeah,
it's fun, right? Because I find it fun when I go to comic conventions to go through buying issues. And I have my philosophy is, so I have particular ones I want to buy. So I'm trying to buy Batman anywhere starting from 217, which is like the kind of like that's deemed like the time where Batman changed. Like it's after the Batman TV show and 217, I think it's 217, where they leave Wayne Manor and Dick Grayson goes to college.
I'm like still up the Batcave forever. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm trying to get that to Batman 400. So I'm not like Chris, where I want to get all the old Batman stuff for his appearance, because I'm like, I got to be selective with what I want to get. Because if you're not selective, although Chris is selective, he likes, you know, he's only focusing on Batman Detective. But you focus on a lot of back issues. It'd just be too much for me. So I'm trying to get those Batman Detective issues. Like, so the ones that, you know, I sold that meant a lot to me when I was a kid, you know, the Gary Conway, Doug Munch run. I'm also trying to get right now Justice League of America issues 100 through like 200. And I'm actually almost done there. So after that, I'll probably go back and try to get issues 1 through 100.
Yeah.
I'm also, you know, I got a lot of the Mr. Miracle and New Gods original issues because I love those two books.
Uh-huh.
I'm also trying to get the whole Superboy and Legion Superhero books. I'm trying to get those. So I'm being selective, but
you're staying focused like him. It's just you're staying true to what you love, in other words, the area that you stick with more or less.
Exactly. But then like the Micronauts, so that's the series I love when I was a kid. I'm buying those comics because they're not collecting those, because, you know, the rights are so screwed up, because even though Micronauts is owned by Hasbro, they don't own the rights to a lot of the characters that Marvel created.
Yeah, it's weird. They'll never reprint it because of that.
No. So I'm getting those issues. I went and bought Atari Force, which is one of my favorite series. I went and bought most of the individual issues. I'm missing a couple of them.
I just finished it this week. I mean, I just finished buying the three issues I was missing.
That's a great series.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with Dynamite. They're supposed to come up with a collection of
they're coming up with, okay, they released their first mini comic, which was based on the video games, and then in March they're releasing the Atari Force mini comic that came out in the cartridges, and supposedly after that release which is the prequel to the Atari Force we know, they're going to release the other stuff. But I don't know if they're going to be caught up in some kind of similar Micronauts situation or
Yeah,
what.
I don't know, but by the way, I actually read the original Atari Force comics because I was buying Atari at the time,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I love those mini comics.
So the mini comics is like if you went right now and you looked at Amazon, you'd see it there, and they've already pre-solicited it. So that's going to be the one with Champion, which is the father of Tempest, which
Well,
establishes the team, but it's not the Atari Force that we know that's in the Garcia Lopez run.
I mean, I knew they're coming out with a collection, but I thought it was supposed to come out last year, and then I think it's been delayed. That was my
Yeah.
point. And I was hoping they'd come out the new Atari Force comic because when they announced that they had a license to Atari in the Atari Force comics, I was hoping for new material, actually,
Yeah,
because those are
yeah.
great characters, Dart and Tempest. Those are great, Blackjack, great
Those
characters.
are my favorite right there, especially Dart and Blackjack. I like them a lot.
Don't you think Dart had an influence on Jim Lee's when he created Zealot? Look at
Yeah,
Zealot,
yeah.
Dart.
Very
They're very
similar
similar.
haircuts, very similar style. Yeah.
So yeah, so I have to purge comics once a year. I either give them away. If they're worth something, I try to sell them, but if they're not worth much, I just give them away. I don't, I collect comics because I enjoy them. I don't collect comics because I want to make money off them. So that's what, I have.
Do you have to do some the similar thing with collected editions like Campbell, or do you keep the collected edition?
Well, recently, no, I have to get, I have too many collected editions. I put them in a box. I have to figure out how to get rid of them because some of them are worth quite a bit. Like I have some old archives and Masterworks that I don't want. I'm not gonna like they're worth a bit of money now, so I gotta figure out how when I'm gonna sell them. But it's just I didn't have enough space, And
Well, when you decide to sell them, let me know what's in there.
okay. I'll let you know, not Barb.
Yeah, don't let Barb know.
But I mean, one of these days I gotta read half. Like I'm pretty good when I buy a comic book, I read the comic book. But I've been pretty bad. All these back issues I bought, I have not read them yet. I read a few issues of the Justice League that I bought, but I put them away. And one day I'm gonna read them. I'm really excited about it. I mean, Justice League is one of my favorite books. In fact, what's interesting is I think. The reason why I still today I read more DC than Marvel is that my favorite characters are Batman, Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman. It's the Justice League members.
Yeah.
And it's just the solo books have been my favorite. The Flash, I love the Flash. I love the Wally West series. I mean, that was just such good comics.
Yeah, I just picked up the first Cosmic Treadmill issue.
Oh, really? See,
Yeah.
that's another series, actually. I was thinking about going back in time, not back in time, but back and buying back issues is The Flash because
Yeah.
I felt Flash out of like all the other DC comics. It's pretty cool, Silver Age, because it has so many great, his rogue gallery, in my humble opinion, is probably the third best rogue gallery outside Batman and Spider-Man because the rogue gallery of The Flash is just so cool.
I actually think it's the best, but that's me. I love the Rogues, but it has more of a retro thing for me too. That's when I realized that bad guys could team up.
Well, yeah, that's all. And
Yeah.
then, but yeah, so I, one of these days when I take time off, I could read my collections. But what's funny is when we go on a trip, I can't take my collections with me if we fly because they're too heavy. Then I have to read stuff on my iPads. It's
iPad,
kind
yeah.
of funny. But I tell you, the iPad is great too, though, because I remember one time we went on a trip, and this is before the iPad, and I took a whole bunch of books with me, and my wife gave me that look like, really? You're bringing these heavy books with you on a trip? Are you really? And now I bring my iPad, I don't get any looks, and she
Yeah.
has no idea that I have so many comics that I have access to. Like I went to India for a winter vacation to visit my in-laws, I read my comics. I just, what I want to read, I downloaded my father had Wi-Fi. I was able to read my comics very easily. It was awesome.
Yep, that's the convenience of it. Plus, it's on demand. If you find something that you want to read and it's available, you get it right there and then.
I
That's
know, it's
the
awesome.
big advantage of it. Epic is pretty good though. Like if you just have a carry-on luggage and you take two Epic collections with you, it'll keep you busy.
Yeah, I mean, those Epic collections are nice, and that's why I like the thick trades. I like the fact that they're, they published, let's see what they did recently. They have like the Geoff Johns, Teen Titans trades, Young Justice. I never actually read Young Justice, believe it or not. That was the time where I wasn't getting a lot of DC, and I didn't read Young Justice. I bought the
Very
first trade.
different. It's very different. It's very addictive, but you have to get into it first. That's what I would say. Because it is when they're much younger and there's some strange stuff in there, but once you get into the soap opera thing of it'll draw you in.
Okay, and then I've been buying the Robin and they had that new Superboy collection they just started. I bought that. I haven't reread that, but I love Superboy when it was first coming out. After the death and return of Superman, they had a Superboy series. I love that series. So.
There's a lot of good stuff out there. For most of the titles I have, I mean most everything from 1973 from all the main titles. I have some odds and ends I need to still get, but like Superman, Wonder Woman, all the ones you mentioned, I'm getting close to complete collections
Really?
minus the showcases, yeah.
You say complete collections. Are you just talking about the original runs, or are you also talking about like the all the relaunches and stuff
I'm
too?
talking about all the relaunches too, like Flash.
Really?
I own everything from about 119 on every volume. The same
Wow.
thing with Daredevil now. I mean, there's certain things that Green Lantern, I have a really impressive collection. I own everything that's ever been published from like issue, I don't know, 20 on. So like and Superman is pretty much from 73, but I have a lot of older sporadic issues before that.
I
Same
would think so.
thing with Batman. Like there's a lot of like early Silver Age that I have, but there's some gaps in there, like big gaps.
I would think Superman would be the hardest if you count all the spin-offs that he had, Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen. I would think that would be the hardest
Oh, I
to.
don't have a lot of those.
Yeah.
I'm counting just Action and Superman.
Oh, okay. But even then,
Super
that's all.
Supergirl. I think I of all the volumes, I own all the Supergirl too. So
But even then, that's hard. That's amazing. That's impressive
Superboy, I
because.
don't because I own everything from the 90s Superboy on, but there was some of those titles that were tied into that syndicated TV show.
Yes.
That I don't own. So there was like I think two or three of them because that series ran a while and they had like three different actors.
Was a hard.
I would actually record it.
Did you like it though? I don't remember
I don't
liking
know
it.
if I liked it too much, but I watched it. I remember they had a weird Mixlapitalik issue episode
Dude, there's
with a strange actor, but it worked because the actor work made it work.
are certain things that I remember watching as a kid that when I watched as an adult, I'm like, I don't know how I could like this. So, you remember the Star Wars Christmas special?
Which one?
The Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember loving it when I was a kid, and one of the first comic conventions I went to, I found a bootleg copy of it. So my friends and I, we bought it. We went to my house to watch it, and it was like, we're like, oh my God, this is so
It's
bad.
bad.
I mean, the only good thing about it was that cartoon in the middle, but outside of that, it was horrendous. Oh my God. Oh my
I
God.
did the same thing with the DC Legends of something. I can't remember what it was, but it was the one shot that they had where they had Captain Marvel and Adam West
Yes,
Batman.
I remember that. That was, oh, yes, right. That's right. Yeah, I don't know
That's when
what they were thinking.
they would actually have the Flash, like he would be like in a running stance and then it would be totally still and then you would see just this blur. Whoosh. And I also bought that Justice League International TV pilot.
Yeah. That looks bad too. I never saw that one.
Well, it had Fire and Ice in it, and the Atom and Flash.
Captain Marvel or Shazam TV morning TV show.
Yeah, with Isis.
Yeah, where he traveled with I think his uncle in a Winnebago.
Yeah.
That was not good either.
I love it
Yeah.
because I remember it. So it's like
I love.
there's things that I can love that I know is not good, but because I remember where I
So
was and what I was doing and how I watched it, it makes me love it, even though it's bad. So like
well, I love.
there's certain things like that that like Super Friends is tough. Like I loved it when it was coming out, the cartoon. Now I have all the volumes and I really can't say it's very rewatchable except when it got to Challenge of the Super Friends.
Yeah, that's
Those
my
were
favorite. Yeah, those are
good,
good.
good issues. And even after that, when they had the superpowers, I like because they had Cyborg and Firestorm were like buddies and
And they
they
have
fight
Darkseid.
Darkseid.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that was awesome. What about us? Remember the old Captain America TV show? As a kid, I love this Captain America so. Like after seeing that, I remember making my own shield out of cardboard. I thought it was the coolest thing.
Red
And
Brown. I know those shows meant so much to me that I own it. I own the Red Brown
I
Captain
mean.
America.
I think the thing was, as a kid, you see, nowadays, I think we're all spoiled because there's a comic movie every 2 months now. But back then, there wasn't, it wasn't, this, that was a rarity to see something like this. So it comes out, you just love it because it's the only thing out there, like
Yeah.
Buck Rogers or Battlestar Galactica. I mean, in retrospect, the shows weren't that great, but you loved it because it's the only thing that you had.
See, those to me hold up today, though. They still are damn good. I love them. Maybe up till the second season of Buck Rogers, but
Yeah, I think this.
Battlestar holds up to me.
Yeah, I like Bastard more than
It is
Buck
pretty damn awesome. Like,
Rogers. But you have to exclude Galactica 1980.
that one I need to rewatch. That one
That's not.
I didn't like that because they were on Earth and they had the motorcycles and stuff, but
And then Buck Rogers when they made it more like a Star Trek thing. No,
well,
remember with
Buck
Hawk?
Rogers became Hawk, yeah.
That was hard.
There
That was not good.
still was like one or two redeemable episodes because I just rewatched the whole thing. But I think the first season of Buck Rogers with Princess Adala and
Yes.
Aaron Gray is pretty freaking awesome. Like
Yeah.
the movie that launched it, and then that first season, even special effects wise, is good. And then it got to like Superman 4 special effects in season 2, like where they just didn't have no budget, and
Yeah.
they're like flying a ship, and it just looks there's no background or it just doesn't look organic. It just looks fake. But yeah. So anything else that you collect? Do you collect any toys or any kind of do you still have any Star Wars stuff or did you get rid of
No,
some of it?
I got rid of it. I don't have anything when I was a kid. I used to collect the some DC figures. I don't collect them anymore. They're still in a box in my storage room. I was collecting the what's those Funko Pops. I get that subscription box. I canceled my Marvel one. I only get the DC now because after a while, how many could I get? It's like. There's so many of them, so I stopped collecting those. But I still have a whole bunch of those. I've been getting like the some of the statues now, like the Batman black and white statues. I didn't start at the beginning, but now I get them now, and I get some of the statues that DC puts out. But those are the only things I really collect, and I do buy original art,
Those are
either.
nice statues. They were I started that kind of when it came out, and then I went like, I don't know, 20, 30 deep, and then I just ran out of space. Like I couldn't display them, so I just stopped buying them. But they are so nice, those Batman black and whites. I mean, they're
I
just
love them.
beautiful.
I think they're great. I have some of the Bowen Marvel busts, just a few of them, because But I thought, you know, when DC first started putting out statues, except for the Batman black and white statues, I didn't think the other statues were that great looking. But I thought the Bowen statues were just so good. I don't know what happened to him, actually. Does he do anything anymore? Because I don't think he... I think he lost the Marvel contract.
Bowen only did very few DC statues. I think there's a handful of them.
Uh-huh.
And then he was doing Marvel, where he did almost every mini bust, plus he had the full figure. And then he lost the license, and then he stopped doing them. Because I started getting into them when the busts were really busts, like from the waist up. That's when I started getting them. I didn't like when they were like the V-shaped, like from the shoulders. It would like do a sliced cut and do the.
Yeah, I didn't like those either. I have like the Spider-Man minibus. I had the Delver minibus. I had the Thanos. I have the Thor. I love those are pretty nice busts. And then
I had the Fantastic Four set, and then like a bunch of Inhumans. But I never got Black Bolt, and I always wanted him, but he's like hard to get for a decent price. I haven't checked it recently, but it was hard when I was trying to get all the Inhumans, because I like the Inhumans a lot. But they're nice, like those Bowen statues are nice. I actually love them.
When they were coming out, they were the best statues. All the other statues were, in my humble opinion, not the same. This didn't look as good as the Bowen. The Bowen bust looked like it looked so good. Which is why, even though I was a big DC fan, I rarely bought any statues. I just think only recently DC's gone better with their statues outside of the Batman black and white statues. You know, I bought that Frank Cho Wonder Woman statue. It looks really nice. And
that's
then,
one series I would have loved to stick with is the Wonder Woman one, but I never did. Because they had the different artists do Wonder Woman interpretation. Kind of like the Batman black and white, except they were color.
Yes.
In fact, they're about the same size.
They did a Superman version of that too, right? Yeah, they have a Superman, and they're now doing a Harley Quinn version of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's cool. Like, what's interesting is, like, I like the movies, but I really like to buy a statue of the movie, because in my mind, the authentic looking characters look like the comic book, not the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I never want to get a statue of Christopher Reeve or Michael Keaton Batman or Ben Affleck Batman, because in my mind, the real Batman is from the comic book. And I'd rather have, that's the image I want in my head. I don't want the image of them.
Well, that's just the case for me, but I would love to have the Suicide Squad ones. I only have the Harlequin one, but I would love to have the Captain Boomerang and Deadshot one. They look really good in person.
I've seen them. They do look pretty good.
Some of the statues, when they're advertised and you see like them in 2D, it doesn't do them justice. Like, until you actually take them out of the box and you look at them, I mean, they're really, really nice.
Well, and also when they advertise them, they still only have a prototype. They don't have, it's not done yet. Like, I bought the Superman Neil Adams influence statue where he's breaking out of the kryptonite chains.
Oh, that's
nice. Bought it because, yeah, but it looks better actually in person than the ad they had. It looks so much better in person. And
so do you have that in display in your comic room?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah. I can send you a picture.
If you have a picture, I'd like to. I mean, that you want to share. I would like to do it like I did with Campbell's. You know, where I show a picture for the episode.
Okay, I take some pictures afterwards. I have the Brian Bolin Joker statue.
Oh, that's a nice one.
And the Francis Manapul, I have that statue of the Flash, and then I have the Adam Kubert Batman statue from the Dark Knight Masterpiece.
I bought one Flash Gorilla Grodd one, and it was so big I can't even display it anywhere.
Well, speaking
shrink them down and do the mini versions of them, and that's when I I like them more because they're more displayable. Like this Grodd Flash is just too big.
I bought one Sideshow statue in my life, and that was a Green Lantern statue. And I bought it. It looked awesome. I bought it. It's so big. And my wife gave me a dirty look because it came in the biggest box I ever got in my life. And she's like, "What did you order?" And it was huge. It's still huge. And you're right. Like, it's the size store, like, besides the fact that I think they're overpriced, they're way too big. Like, you don't, like, you, I don't know. I mean, you go, like, I go to, like, the comic shop or the comic conventions. They have this, like, great dark size statue. But, dude, it's so big. Where
Big.
am I going to put it? You know,
I think once you get past the, like, you know how you see how you get the DC CoverGirl statues? Once you get past that size and it gets bigger than that, it's unmanageable. In other words, it gets to the point where you can't even fit it in a display case unless you have it specially built. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just too much. It's too big.
I know what you mean. And then the thing that I don't get is, let's be honest, the people that buy these statues, they're not the typical person that says, "You know what? I'm just going to buy one statue and that's it." They buy more than one. I don't know where they put them,
Yeah.
right? I don't
Unless you
know.
keep
I
them in a
mean,
box or something.
I don't know. I don't know. Well, it's like, you know, when I order back issues, if it's really old comics, I buy them already in the what is it? In the slag, you know, wherever. No, is it? That's, you know, in the
CGC?
yes, DC slag. But I open them after I get them.
Yeah,
I
you
release them
cannibal. I do that too.
because I don't want it. I
When I go
mean,
to a con, I usually don't buy a book that I can get at my comic shop. I buy like a more expensive book. So sometimes I'll get a CGC, and then when I get home, I'll crack it open.
I do the same, dude. I mean, I do like the CDC on the older stuff because you know what you're getting. You know, if you buy it online, if you go to the show, you can at least inspect it in person. But buying online is it's really risky sometimes,
It
especially the older
is. It's
stuff.
very risky. Unless you start knowing a seller and you know how they sell it and how they grade it, it's really hard to go in blind and just listen to them. So is there any other collectibles besides those? Or
I get art, you know, by
Oh yeah,
either
you do get a lot of art. That's true.
I do either commissions or by original pages. I go back and forth. The reason I like original pages because I know what I'm getting. You know, commissions, I've been lucky. Most of the times I get a commission, I'm pretty happy with it, but there are times where you get, I won't name the artist, but there'll be times where you get the commission back and you're like, "Oh, that's what it looks like." Okay. And so in the original art pages sometimes, and sometimes the commission prices have gone up where it's just cheaper to get the original art than to get a commission. But I do that. I go through spurts. You know, sometimes I go through a dry spell where I don't buy any original art. And then I go through a spell where suddenly I got a couple, you know, I got a couple pieces suddenly. Because you gotta like look around, and sometimes they just come up suddenly, and you go with it. I don't go to too many cons, so generally when I go to a con, I get commissions, especially if I go to Heroes, because that's a really good con for commissions because they have a lot of great artists. And Baltimore's a good con. There's some other cons that are not so good. Like I'm going to Awesome Con in March. That's mostly with TV stars and movie stars, and they have like, you know, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, and obviously Greg doesn't do commission, you know, doesn't do sketches. But I'm going there just because my kids want to go. Because it's funny. So my kids read comics, and now that they're high school, we don't watch as much together as we used to. But we used to watch Arrow and the Flash together all the time. They love Stephen Amell. They really do. And we go to all these comic conventions, they go, "Oh, why can't Stephen Amell be here?" You know, they know that Stephen Amell goes to comic cons and get, you know, people get pictures with Stephen Amell. They always want to meet Stephen Amell when he's coming to DC for the first time. And I told them that, they went ballistic. They're like, we gotta go. We gotta go. So regardless of how much it costs to get a picture of Stephen Amell, or I had to spend the money and get a picture of Stephen Amell with my daughters. So
that's cool. Though that, well, they're passionate about that. So that's,
they love it. They love it.
That's, I bet, great that they get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny, the cost of autographs and photo ops is another debate, but, you know, it's hard to argue that when you and I spend money on comic books and art and stuff, and, you know, if people really need to pay for it, you know, why not charge it, you know?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I paid for a few of my own, but... like commissions, I've kind of went away from. The only time I do it now is when I go to my go-to people. Like, I know I'm going to get it, and I know I'm going to be happy with it. So it's always like the same three artists now that I get commissions from. I don't usually go out of that range anymore. I'd rather buy an old issue of something than spend it on art and not know how you're getting and be stressed about it. My logic has changed a lot to commissions.
Well, I can see that. I think the last Baltimore Comic Con I went to, I think I only wanted to get one or two commissions because I didn't want to stress out about it. Because it is stressful. If you try to get art at Comic Con, and it's really stressful because... you know, obviously there's art they could get lined up before you get to the show. Those are the easiest. But even then, you still have to go by and remind them, because artists are very creative, but they're not the most organized people, and they forget.
Well, not only that, but sometimes you'll get pushed in the queue, and like,
yes,
you were there on Friday, and it's already Sunday, and you're worried that you're not going to get it. It's getting close to closing time. And then you're concerned because you're like, they're just going to rush it. They're not even... You know what I mean? They're not going to put
I know. I don't want to get mad at artists before they give me my art, because they might just do a crappy job.
Yeah.
And what are you going to, you know? So, no, it is. It's so Heroes, I do that at Heroes. So, like, Baltimore, I focus more on this, you know, meeting up with friends and buying back issues. It's more relaxing. Plus, you know, I have a certain budget, and... last year, I spent most of it on Hero. So by the time Baltimore came around, I was like, oh, I don't have enough money to spend on art. So I just hang out with my friends and buy some back issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, and then also with, you know, social media and online, you can still get commissions without actually being at a con nowadays. So that's, you don't have to worry about the only time you could get art at a con anymore if you can do that. But one of the things I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask you one other question, but go ahead and finish your train of thought.
One of the things I'm still trying to do, though, is I'm trying to put all my art online, and I'm so lazy. I scan half of it. I'm still trying to scan the other half and then put it online so I could share with other people. Mm-hmm. But that's one of my projects for this year. I bought a new scanner. My old scanner wasn't the best, so I bought a new scanner, and it's so much better. So I'm rescanning all of my art again, and then I'm trying to put it online. So
what I do is I just use my phone. It's not a high quality, but it's good enough to get the impression of what it is. So one other thing that I wanted to ask is, do you have, like, cabinets for your comics too, like Campbell, or do you just do the closet space, long boxes?
Sorry, you broke up a little bit. What was your question?
Do you have cabinets like Campbell does for his comics?
No. I have, like I said, I take a picture of it. I have bookshelves where I have a mix of magazine racks where I put my single issues, bag and board, of course, and then my collections, and then my storage room, which I won't take a picture because it's not, you know, it's a storage room. I have long boxes, mostly drawer boxes, but I don't have the cabinets.
Short, those are pretty cool. Drawer boxes.
Long. I have the space, so I prefer the long. The short just seems like, why are they easier to carry? the long, you know, you can obviously hold more books, and so I prefer the long. So I have about, I think I was doing the math, probably 7,000 comics only.
Yeah, but that's because you've gotten rid of them over the years.
Yes, exactly. I mean,
you have the fixed space, you read them, and then you either sell them or you give them away.
Yep.
Unless it's something that you know you want to keep, like what you mentioned.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean,
and yeah, if I buy the trade, like sometimes I like a series, like a lot of the DC Weekly stuff, I end up buying the trades when they're eventually, and I got rid of the weekly series because yeah. I was like, it's just a weekly series. I don't need the original issue. So like I have the 52 trades. I have the Batman Turner trades, the Brightest Day trades. I don't need to have the original issues. They were taking up space, especially they were weekly series. So like 52 issues, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of issues.
It's a lot of issues. So, I'm still pretty bad with the variants, though. I buy variants of certain series. Like when some of the Justice League stuff I had variants of, and I still haven't gotten rid of those variants. I don't know why, but I just like them. So.
Yeah, well, you don't get rid of what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to wrap this one up, and I want to thank you for joining me. I like doing these conversations. I like talking about comics to collectors. Like, I like to see what they do.
Well, I like to talk about comics too. So,
So I'm glad.
I appreciate you
come on, and I knew I wanted to start up again. We had kind of planned this a long time ago, and then my life got in the way, and I couldn't find time to break away. But I knew when you got back from vacation, I wanted to try to schedule something up. And this worked out well, based on time. So I want to thank you for joining, and I hope that I get to see you this year at one of the cons. I know I'm not going to both. I think I'm going to one.
Well, I'm going to Heroes and Baltimore, so I see you hopefully at one of them. And I appreciate you inviting me to be on your show. I really do.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, and do you want to give out any of your like Twitter information or?
Yeah, actually, I forgot what my Twitter handle is. It's you got, if someone wants to follow me, it's hold on 1 second. It's Hassan T, I believe, right? Is it T6? Is it just Hassan T?
And sometimes you post some of the art that you got commissioned for. I mean, I've seen it on the Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't prepared for you to ask me that question. Yeah, Hassan T16. Don't ask me what the 16 stand for, but you can find me on Twitter. And you're right. Sometimes I post what I'm reading, and sometimes I post comic art that I get. So, yeah, please follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, and you're active on the 11 O'Clock Comics Facebook page.
Yep, I am.
That's another way they could get a hold of you. All right, well, thanks for joining, and we'll have to talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
All right, take it easy, and you have a good night.
You too, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.